Hare Krishna. So everyone is fired up after the picnic, or everyone is tired out after the picnic? So we covered up to the text 36 yesterday, and we discussed about Krishna's abode, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's attractive features, and Krishna, it's how inconceivable Krishna is. By dint of our own endeavor, by dint of our intellectual or mental ability, mental concepts, we can never understand, we'll never be able to understand Krishna. Krishna can be understood only when he reveals himself. When he reveals himself, when he manifests himself, when he becomes visible to our perception, then only we can perceive him, not otherwise. In a way, it can be compared to seeing the sun. At night, no matter how much we try to see the sun, no matter how powerful lights we use, we may take the most powerful spotlights and project it on the sky, will we be able to see the sun? No. But in the morning when the sun comes up, and if we just happen to keep our eyes open, we will see the sun. Similarly, when Krishna manifests himself, and if we keep our eyes open, then we'll be able to see Krishna. And what is the method of keeping our eyes open? How do we keep our spiritual eyes open? By being favorably disposed to Krishna, being surrendered to Krishna, and by ever willing to receive his mercy. Then in due course of time, Krishna will reveal himself to us. Besides that, there is no other way, no other way, no other way. As the previous verse discussed, panthastu koti satavat sarasam pragamyo vayo rathapi manaso munipungavana sopasti jat prapada simna vichinta tatte govindam adi purusham tamaham bhaja. The best of the thinkers, the best of the philosophers, the munis, and not only munis, muni pungava. Pungava means the best. So who, in a way, who actually have the ability to travel with the speed of mind? And even if they travel for satavatsara sampragamya, hundreds of years, with the speed of mind, they will not be able to reach Krishna's lotus feet. They simply get to see the tip of his toe. And that also, the effulgence from the tip of his toe. That effulgence is so brilliant that they get blinded. They don't get to see Krishna. They just see the overwhelming brilliant light that emanates from Krishna's divine personality known as Brahma Jyoti. And it's blinding because if someone is in darkness for a long, long time, and all of a sudden he is made to look at the midday sun, what will happen to him? He won't be able to tolerate that brilliant light. He'll become blinded. Therefore, these so-called Brahmavadis or impersonalists who try to perceive Krishna by dint of their own endeavor, they just get to perceive the glaring effulgence of Krishna's lotus feet and they become blinded. The only way one can understand, only way one can perceive Krishna is by His divine mercy. And that mercy is invoked by devotional service. Bhaktamam abhijanati. Only through devotion can one perceive Krishna or get to know Krishna. So verse 37, I'll try to go a little fast today to cover the entire Brahma Samhita today. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis Tabhirja Eva Nijarupa Taya Kalabhi Goloko Eva Nivasat Takhilat Mubhuto Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Rasa means mellow. So what is the mellow? Mellow is the substance that make us experience different emotions. There are 12 mellows, 5 principal and 7 secondary. The principal mellows are Shanta, Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya and Madhur. Neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental and conjugal. Neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental and conjugal. These are the 5 principal mellows. They are known as Thayi Bhava. So relationship with Krishna are based on these 5 mellows. And these mellows are sthayi, means constant. Say, one who is in Santeras, that will be his predominating mellow. One who is in servitorship, that will be his predominating mellow. That generally doesn't change. Like a person who is situated as the servant of Krishna, he will not transgress into any other mellow. Like for example, he won't deal with Krishna like a friend. Or those who are situated as a friend in Sakhyaras, they will not interfere in any other mellow. They can go into the Dasya from Sakya, one can go to the Dasya. But he won't go into Parental. A A friend of Krishna will not act like Krishna's father. But there is a mixture sometimes. Like, for example, there can be some mixture. Like, for example, there can be a mixture of friendship and parent. Like in Baladev. Balaram, he is Krishna's friend, Krishna's brother. And as Krishna's elder brother, he is in a way Krishna's friend. And at the same time, he has this attitude like Krishna's superior. Like he guards Krishna, he tries to protect Krishna. So these mellows are compatible in a way. But for example, parental and conjugal are not at all compatible. Mother Yashoda will never deal with Krishna like his girlfriend. Like a gopi. So, anyway, these five principal mellows are called sthayi bhav, and the seven secondary mellows, they actually enhance the emotions. Like you can see, like these are the steady emotions. Servant of Krishna. As a servant, one has a specific relationship with Krishna. Similarly, as a friend, one has a specific relationship with Krishna. That relationship remains kind of constant. It remains constant. Not just kind of constant, it remains constant. Therefore, it's called sthayi bhava. But the secondary mellows, they are transient. Therefore, they are called sanchari. Those secondary mellows are known as Hasya, Adbhut, Veera, Raudra, Vivatsya, Bhayanak and Karun. Laughter, Hasyas. Like Krishna cracks a joke and everybody starts to laugh. Adbhut, surprise. Krishna shows his universal form and Mother Yashoda is awestruck. Veera, chivalry, mellow of chivalry. Somebody wants to, when a demon comes and tries to attack Krishna, Krishna's friends become very much afraid, and Krishna says, "Don't worry, I'm here, I'll take care." Or sometimes Krishna's friends play with Krishna, they get into a wrestling match, and the friend says, "Okay, Krishna, today I'll teach you a lesson. You think that you are the greatest, yeah? You don't know who I am. You better watch out, Krishna." So these are the mellow of chivalry, which leads to a fighting spirit. Veera, Raudra, anger. Sometimes Radharani becomes very angry with Krishna. And she literally blasts Krishna. So that is Raudra. Or sometimes somebody tells Krishna that how the demons are causing distress to the Pandavas, and Krishna becomes very upset. Krishna becomes so angry, he starts to shake with anger. And he says, "Who dares to do anything to my devotees, the Pandavas? I will destroy them all, including their entire family." Like that, Krishna becomes angry. That is the mellow of anger, Raudra. Bibhatsa, ghastly. And Bhayanak, frightening. And Karun, bathos. So, of all these mellows, the highest is the mellow of conjugal love. So Krishna displays that mellow in Vrindavan. Ananda Chinmaya, this Chinmaya Rasa is the transcendental mellow, which is the source of joy, bliss, Ananda. And who experience these mellows? Those who are constantly engaged in thinking about Krishna. Pratibhavitakis and Nijarupataya Kalaki. Krishna's Kala, Krishna's expanse, Krishna's parts or Krishna's expansion, who have the identical feature like Krishna. Here it indicates Srimati Radha Gandhi. And Goloko Eva Nivasati Akhilatma Bhuto. Krishna resides in Golok at the same time. He is also existing in everybody. Akhilatma Bhuto, in everybody, everyone's heart. As a super soul, Krishna is residing in everyone's heart. It has been described as Akhilatma Bhuta, as one who exists as the soul of all. Krishna is the super soul. He is the soul of everyone. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm, Golok, with Radha, resembling his own spiritual figure, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency possessed of the 64 artistic activities, in the company of her confidants, Sakhis, embodiment of the extensions of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by his ever blissful spiritual rasa. Brahma Samhita, in Brahma Samhita, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a very long purport to this verse. Let me see how many pages. From 62 to 75. 14 pages. He gave a 14-page long purport to this verse. So take your time and read the purport. So are you going to read Brahma Samhita after, or just this seminar? Or so please read Brahma Samhita. Actually, I mentioned on the first day that what I am trying to do is simply to give you a basic understanding of Brahma Samhita in order to encourage you to read Brahma Samhita more systematically and more attentively, study them more carefully, systematically and carefully. Next verse, Primanjana Churita Bhakti Vilojanena Santas Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shyamasundaram Achinta Gunaswarupam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So previous verse described that how Krishna eternally resides in Golok Vrindavan, and what does he do there? He performs his pastimes with Srimati Radharani. And Radharani is his pleasure potency. Krishna is Anandamaya, and all the Ananda of Krishna, all the joy of Krishna is provided by Srimati Radharani. And Radharani is also, she also expanded herself into innumerable sakhis, the cowherd damsels. And that is how they are enjoying, they are giving pleasure to Krishna and enjoying along with Krishna. The unique aspect of Vrindavan is that everybody is trying to serve Krishna. But as a result, although they do not want any personal enjoyment or aggrandizement, but they're getting it automatically. It is not that in Golok Vrindavan only Krishna enjoys and everyone else suffers. Because it may material, from a materialistic point of view, it may appear that those who are serving, they are in a very, very difficult situation. Isn't it? It's not nice to be a servant in a material nature. Therefore, everybody wants to be served. Everybody wants to be the enjoyer. And nobody wants to provide for others' enjoyment. Everybody wants to enjoy himself. But in the spiritual sky, everyone is trying to provide for Krishna's enjoyment. Everyone is trying to make arrangements for Krishna's enjoyment. But at the same time, they are also enjoying. And an example can be given, like in a family, everyone is trying to serve the father. But at the same time, father is providing for everyone else in the family. It's a reciprocal. Loving exchange is like that. One tries to serve others, but in course of their dealings, they actually serve each other. It is not that Krishna is just accepting service and Krishna is not taking care of anybody. We can see how Krishna is actually taking care of everybody. Actually, Krishna is serving everyone. Krishna's situation is actually very difficult. It's not easy to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People may think, oh, it's so wonderful to be God. There was one person who performed many, many austerities, lots of penances. So Krishna came to him and asked him, why are you performing all these penances and austerities? What do you want? He said, I want to be God. Krishna said, well, you can't be God because I am God. And I am God. He says, no, I know that you are God, but I want to be God. So Krishna says, thank you. Now I can go on a vacation. So you take my position. So Krishna made him God. And not even a second went by, the guy started to call out to Krishna, 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 please come back. So Krishna came and asked him, what happened? He said, I don't want to be God. He said, why don't you want to become God? He said that I thought that by being God, it'll be so wonderful, I'll enjoy. But now I'm seeing that everybody is always asking me so many things. Give me this, give me that. So that is what Krishna's situation is like. So Krishna is taking care of everyone. Everyone. Can you imagine what an incredible responsibility it is? Therefore, we can see how material and spiritual are diametrically opposed. You look at a material structure, a materialistic structure, what you find? It's like a pyramid. And the topmost guy, the biggest person, he is sitting on top of the pyramid. And the rest of the structure is actually holding him. He is utilizing the entire structure for his enjoyment. Now, spiritual structure also is like a pyramid, but it's in a reverse order. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually taking care of everyone else. He is actually shouldering the burden of everybody. And in spiritual sky, in the spiritual world, what happens? When you go to a higher position, higher you go, more responsibility. Isn't it? You're a new bhakta. You don't have any responsibility. Right? Then you become a temple commander. Right? You have so many devotees to take care of. Then you become a temple president. How does it feel like, Rishikananda? So you have to shoulder the burden of so many. And then you become a GBC. What happens? More responsibility. And in this way, the higher you go, more responsibilities you have to shoulder. And ultimately, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what He is doing, He is taking care of everybody. But still in Golok Vrindavan, He is the Supreme Enjoyer. And there He is not shouldering the responsibilities. He actually, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has others to take care of. Vishnu is taking care of all the universal affairs. All the material nature, all the affairs of the material nature is maintained, taken care of by Vishnu and Narayana. Then different incarnations are there, establishing Yuga Dharma in the material nature. But Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan, what's He doing? He is not doing anything but just enacting His pastimes and having a wonderful time with His devotees. And His devotees are also having a wonderful time with Him. And that's why in Vrindavan, Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There He is a friend, He is a son, He is a lover. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be perceived only by those who have developed their love for Him. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yang Shyama Sundaram Achinta Gunaswarupam. How do they see? Those who have their eyes anointed with love. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. They constantly see Krishna in the core of their hearts. Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. And how do they see Him? Young Shyamasundaram. He is the most beautiful personality. Most beautiful. And His complexion is like monsoon cloud. Actually, no material definition can describe Krishna's complexion or beauty. But some close resemblance can be drawn. Just like here, Krishna's bodily complexion has been described as the monsoon cloud. It's not a material complexion. It's completely transcendental, it's completely spiritual. And that form is Achinta Guna Swarupa. Is the reservoir of inconceivable qualities. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyamsundar, Krishna himself with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, with the eye of devotion tinged with the sand of love. Then, the relationship between Krishna and Krishna's incarnations have been described here. Ramadi murtishu kala niyamena tishthan nana avataram akarod bhuvaneshu kintu Krishna swayam samabhavat parama pumanjo govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Ramaji Murtishu, Lord Ramchandra and other incarnations are his kalaniyamintishthan, are his parts or parts of parts. In this way, nana avataram, in this way Krishna has incarnated in various incarnations. Akarod bhuvaneshu, in this material nature. Kintu, but Krishna swayam samabhavat parama bhuvanjo. But Krishna is the original supreme personality of Godhead. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna, and the different avatars in the world in the form of Ram, Nrisimha, Vamana, etc. as his subjective portion. So here we can understand the link between Krishna, relationship between Krishna and incarnation. Yesterday I discussed, remember, Srimad Bhagavatam also deals with the same point. Ete Changsha Kalapumsha Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Actually, Brahma Samhita is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. See, we can see the link also. Brahma perceived Krishna. When Brahma perceived Krishna, how did Brahma become qualified to perceive Krishna? You remember? Brahma received Gayatri Mantra and he meditated on the Gayatri, and as a result of that the spiritual sky manifested to him, which actually means that Brahma was transported to the spiritual sky. Apparently it seems that by chanting Gayatri, as the description goes, that he saw the spiritual sky in his heart. But seeing the spiritual sky in your heart and spirit, being in the spiritual sky, are not different. So when Brahma saw Krishna, then he started to describe Krishna's glory, or about Krishna, in this prayer. And then what happened? Then Brahma composed the Chatushtoki. Brahma composed Srimad Bhagavatam. He gave it to Narad. Narad Muni gave it to Vyasadeva. Right? And Vyasadeva then wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. So, what Brahma received, Brahma saw in the spiritual sky, that presentation is Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Brahma Samhita and Bhagavatam are non-different. Only thing is that Bhagavatam is more elaborate, Brahma Samhita is more to the point, more concise, more precise. Jasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti कोटिश्य शेष वसुधादि विभूति भिन्नम तद ब्रह्म निष्कलम अनंतम अशेष भूतम गोविंदम आदि पुरुषम तमहं भजामि. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose effulgence is the source of the non-differentiated Brahman mentioned in the Upanishads, being differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universe, appears as the indivisible, infinite, limitless truth. Jasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti. His prabha, prabha means effulgence. His jagadanda koti, his effulgence, his bodily effulgence, lights up innumerable universes. Jagad anda koti. Anda means universe, Brahmanda. And how many? Millions of Brahmans. And koti shashesha vasudhadi vibhuti bhinnam. Kotishu ashesha vasudhadi vibhuti bhinnam. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose effulgence is the source of the non-differentiated Brahman mentioned in the Upanishads. Upanishads generally does not describe Krishna directly. Upanishad generally deals with, or rather describes Krishna as Brahman. And that's why Upanishads can be little confusing at times. That's why the impersonalists, they consider the Brahman is the ultimate. Because Upanishads are describing about Brahman. But the understanding is that there are Brahman, although they are the bodily effulgence of Krishna, but Krishna is the Param Brahman. Param Brahman. So Param Brahman means Supreme Brahman, the source of all Brahman. So, this Brahma Jyoti is emanating from Krishna's body. So Krishna is the source of all Brahman. Therefore Krishna is Parabrahma. Parabrahma, Paramdhamo, Pavitra, Paramam Bhavan. Ahuste Vishaya Sarva. Shayam Eva Braveshini. So Krishna, this way, has been described as Supreme Brahma. Tad Brahma, that Brahma is Niskalam Anantam Asheshabhutam. Being differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universe appears as the indivisible, infinite, limitless truth. Now, describing the material nature. Krishna. What is material nature? It's linked with Krishna. Maya hi jasya jagadanda satani sute traiguna tad vishaya veda vitaya mana satyavalambi parasattvam vishuddha sattvam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity in the form of the support of all existence, whose external potency embodies the threefold mundane qualities, that is sattva, raja and tama, and diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world. So this material nature manifests Jagadanda Satani Sute, millions of universes. And this material nature has Traivunna Tad Vishaya Veda Vitayamana. Traivunna means three, endowed with the three modes. The material nature is endowed with three modes. They are mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. In that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the support of all existence. He is the ultimate entity. He is the absolute substantive principle. So in this way, Krishna, through his external material energy, he is manifesting these universes. Whereas he himself is not at all affected by them. He is beyond that. He is beyond them. He is transcendental to them. Ananda chinmaya rasatma taya manasu jap praninam pratifalan smaratam upetya lilaitena bhuvanani jayatta jashram govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the prime of the Lord, whose glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world by the activity of his own pastimes. Being reflected in the mind of recollecting souls as the transcendental entity of ever blissful cognitive rasa. What a beautiful description, huh? That Ananda Chinmaya Rasatma Taya Manusu Ja Praninam Pratifalam Smaratam Upetya Leelaitena Bhuvanani Jayatra Jashram. Leelaitena Bhuvanani Jayatra Jashram, whose glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world by the activity of his own pastimes. So his glory triumphantly, ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world by the activity of his own pastimes. Krishna dominates over the material nature by his pastime. Ever triumphantly, he is the supreme and his glory is ever increasingly established in this material nature, constantly establishing his supremacy. Being reflected in the minds of recollecting souls. Now those who remember Krishna's pastimes, those who meditate upon Krishna's pastimes, actually through them, in their hearts also Krishna's pastimes become manifest. It has been described that Krishna's pastimes are manifest in three ways. One is in the spiritual sky, where Krishna's eternal pastimes are going on. In the material nature, in the Vrindavans, where Krishna is performing his pastimes. And that pastimes are also continuously going on. Like, there are innumerable universes and Krishna's pastimes are going on in different universes. So, that is how Krishna's pastimes are manifest. One is in the spiritual sky, one is in the material nature where Krishna is enacting his pastimes, and another pastime that are going on in the hearts of the pure devotees. When a pure devotee sees Krishna in his heart, he doesn't see just Krishna alone standing there. He sees Krishna with his associates, with his entourage, with his paraphernalia in his abode. Like just here, as we are saying, like Brahma saw Krishna. Where did he see Krishna? Actually, he saw Krishna's pastimes in his heart. But from the description we can see that Brahma was witnessing Krishna's transcendental, eternal pastimes. So in this way, Krishna's pastimes are going on in three different, manifested in three different ways. Goloko namne nijadhamne tale cha tasya devi mahesha haridhamu shuteshu teshu tete prabhava nichaya vihitascha yena govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. This is the ultimate geography. Right? The geography of the material nature and the spiritual nature. Goloka namni nijadhamni talecha tasya devi mahesha haridhama shuteshu teshu. This material nature is the devi dhama, the abode of maya, mahamaya, devi, durga, jagat dhatri, who is actually sustaining the entire material nature. So that is her abode. This material nature is the abode of Devi, Durga Devi. And beyond that, Goloka namne nijadhamni tale cha tasya Devi dham, then beyond that is Mahesh dham, the abode of Lord Shiva. Devi Mahesha Haridhama Suteshu Teshu. And beyond Mahesh Dham is Vaikuntha or Haridham. Goloka Namni Nijadhamni Tale Chatasya Devi Mahesha Haridhama Suteshu Teshu. Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham, Haridham or the abode of Narayan, Vaikuntha, and beyond that is Goloka. So Goloka namni nijadhamni. This Golok is Krishna's own spiritual abode, nijadhamni. Teti prabhava nichaya vihitascha jena. So in this way, they are in each of them. Their respective opulences are manifest or established. Actually, they are progressively more opulent. Mahesh Dham is more opulent than Devi Dham. Haridham or Vaikuntha is more opulent than Mahesh Dham. And Vrindavan is most opulent. Although it's a forest, actually, the queens of Dwarka, Rukmini Devi, when she got the news that Krishna has been kidnapped by the cowherd boys, by the cowherd folks, Krishna went to Kurukshetra on the occasion of the solar eclipse. And the residents of Vrindavan also came to participate in the solar eclipse, or rather take bath in Shamanta Panchak on the occasion of solar eclipse. In India, since time immemorial, this custom is going on. It's a custom that at the time of solar eclipse, one takes bath in Shamanta Panchak. It's considered to be very auspicious, very beneficial. So 5,000 years ago, Krishna also came to take bath in Samantha Panchak. Actually, when the Lord comes, He enacts his pastimes in this way as if he is an ordinary person. So he was a prince and everybody went. So Krishna also went along with Baladev and Subhadra, their sister. And of course they had their entourage and associates. So after the solar eclipse, the next day, when they all were preparing to leave, Krishna was already on his chariot. They were about to leave. And at that time, the gopis got the information that Krishna was there. Krishna was there. Like immediately, as soon as they heard that Krishna was there, immediately they ran to meet Krishna. And when they came, they found that Krishna was already on his chariot, just about to leave. And they saw Krishna after the separation of 100 years. After Krishna left Vrindavan to kill Kamsa, he went to Mathura, but he didn't go back to Vrindavan, apparently. The inside story is something else, which we discussed briefly yesterday. So, after 100 years, they actually met Krishna again. And Radharani was disappointed to see Krishna in that way. This has been very beautifully described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Radharani was very disappointed because she felt that, is this really Krishna? Her mood was like that. Is this really Krishna? Krishna doesn't look like this. This Krishna has a crown on his head. Krishna actually wears a peacock feather. Our Krishna wears flower garlands. But this Krishna has so many jewels and ornaments in his body. And he is wearing armors. Our Krishna has a flute in his hand. And this Krishna is wearing a sword and bow and arrow. He's a prince. So Radharani couldn't relate to this Krishna. Therefore the residents of Vrindavan, understanding Radharani's mind, they decided to take Krishna to Vrindavan. So they got hold of the chariots. They got hold of Krishna's chariot and started to pull it towards Vrindavan. And that is the Ratha Yatra festival. The residents of Vrindavan are taking Krishna from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan to unite Krishna with Radharani. So in the meantime, the news reached Rukmini Devi. Now she was, for 3 days went by, Krishna didn't come back. So Rukmini was really worried. What happened to Krishna? Then she got the news. The residents of Vrindavan kidnapped Krishna. So can you imagine? The prince has been kidnapped. Rukmini got really upset. She says, who dares? How dare they do a thing like that? They stole, they kidnapped Krishna. So she took the army and went to Vrindavan. She surrounded Vrindavan with the army, arrested all the residents. They all were brought to her with their hands tied up. And like criminals, they were brought to Srimati Rukmini Devi, Mahalakshmi. And she was judging them. And of course, there is a they had a lawyer to plead their case. The gopis' lawyer, the residents of Vrindavan's lawyer was Lalita Devi. And what is that, public prosecutor, the government side, what's that called? And the public prosecutor was Narad Muni, taking Rukmini's side. So the question came, one question came up, that why Krishna, although in Dwarka, which is Vaikuntha, Krishna has everything. In Dwarka there is nothing, no lack of anything. But still, why Krishna is so attracted to Vrindavan? Krishna is so attracted to Vrindavan that during queens used to see. Rukmini Devi saw, unlike other queens. Although Krishna expanded himself into 16,000 forms, and each Krishna, with each queen, Krishna was present. And those 16,000 queens have 16,000 palaces. And Krishna expanded into 16,000 forms and they were associated with them. But still they noticed that during the day Krishna was absent-minded. Absent-minded means his mind is somewhere else. They used to feel that. That although Krishna is there with them, but his mind is somewhere else. And at night, in sleep, Krishna would call out to the residents of Vrindavan. So that way they could see that during the day Krishna's mind is in Vrindavan, at night also he is in Vrindavan. So Rukmini Devi wondered why Krishna is always in Vrindavan. His heart is always in Vrindavan. So Lalita Devi got a chance. Now she gave her full dose of Vrindavan Mahima, the glory of Vrindavan. She pointed out that, look, you are seeing Vrindavan in the forest. But all these trees in this forest, these are trees, kalpa vrikshas. The land of Vrindavan is made of Chintamani. The cows here are Surabhi cows. The water here is nectar. So if they want, if the residents of Vrindavan want, they could get anything they wanted. You're talking about opulence. Can't imagine what kind of opulence Vrindavan could have. But they do not want anything but Krishna. Because of their intense love for Krishna, they only want Krishna and nothing else. Therefore, Krishna is always attracted to Vrindavan because of their love. It is their love that is always attracting Krishna to Vrindavan. And that is the meaning of Madhurya Leela. The sweet, sweet pastimes. So, in this way Rukmini Devi got to know the Vrindavan, the glory of Vrindavan and the supremacy of Vrindavan above Dwarka. And the position of the residents of Vrindavan. Then you know what happened? Rukmini Devi said, I wanted to see the Rasa dance. I heard so much about Rasa dance. And so Krishna's Rasa dance was enacted with the gopis. Srishti Sthiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka Chhaye Vajasya Bhubanani Vibharti Durga Ichhanu Rupam Api Jasya Cha Cheshtatesa Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the chit potency. Mahamaya is the shadow of chit potency. The chit potency is spiritual potency. Is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. So, here Mahamaya or Durga's identity is being established. So who is Durga? Durga is Mahamaya. And who is Mahamaya? Mahamaya is Krishna's external potency. Daivi hesha gunamai mamamaya durataya. His external potency. External potency means is the shadow of his chit potency, spiritual potency. The shadow of chit potency, jogamaya. Chaye vajasa bhuvanani vibharti Durga. And she actually, bhuvanani vibharti, she maintains, she manifests, she maintains, and she destroys also. Ichchanu rupam api jasya cha cheshtatesha. All her activities are in accordance to Krishna's desire. She actually follows the orders of Krishna. So next one is establishing the identity of Lord Shiva, Sambhu. Kshiram yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahi tata prithagasti heto ya sambhutam api tatha samupaiti karjan govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Just as milk becomes yogurt, milk becomes yogurt. Is there any difference between milk and yogurt? Yes and no. Right? Yogurt is milk. It has become transformed into yogurt. So similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, transformed himself into jasambhutamapi, as sambhu. Now milk and yogurt, yogurt is milk. Milk can become yogurt, but yogurt cannot become milk. That is the only difference. So jasambhutamapi, tatha samupaiti karjat, in order to execute some special mission. And what is that special mission? Apparently that special mission is to destroy, take care of the demolition department. So to take care of the destruction or demolition department. And another way to look at it is, Lord Shiva is the husband of Maya. So jatha samupaiti karjat can also it means that in order to perform a very special mission, and that special mission is to send the living entities into the material nature. So the material nature is Maya. And who is the husband of Maya? Lord Shiva. So it is through Lord Shiva that the living entities come to the material nature. Therefore Lord Shiva is considered to be the male symbol. And Maya is the female organ. So material nature is a combination of Purusha and Prakriti. Male, female concept. So that is Lord Shiva. Krishna doesn't directly deal with material nature because the material nature is the external energy. So Krishna cannot and does not deal directly with the material nature. Therefore, to deal with the material nature, Krishna transforms himself as Shambhu. And as Shambhu, Shambhu is the husband of Maya. Deeparchireva dasantaram abhupetya deepayate vibrita hetu samana dharma jastadrigevahi cha vishnutaya vibhati govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. The light of one candle being communicated to other candles, although it burns separately in them, is the same in its quality. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who exhibits himself equally in the same mobile manner in his various manifestations. So what's the link, what's the relationship between Krishna and different incarnations? Actually, different incarnations are Krishna himself. Same potency is there. He himself multiplied into different incarnations. Now these incarnations are not different from Krishna, same, but Krishna has the potency to become many in this way and retain the same amount of potency. So that has been exemplified as just as one lamp lights up other lamps. When the lamps are lit, they give out the same amount of light. The first lamp and the last lamp gives out the same amount of light. Right? But it's the first lamp that lit up the other lamps. Ja karanar navajale bhajatisma yoga Nidram ananta jagadanda saroma kupa Adhara shaktim avalamba param samurtim Govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So here the description of Mahavishnu, Karanadakshaya Vishnu. One jah karanar navajale, one who is enjoys yoga nidra. What he is doing there in Mahavishnu, what is he doing? He is lying on causal ocean and he went to sleep. Yoga nidra. His sleep is different from ours. Ours are Mahanidra. And his is Yoganidra. And in a way, it can be described as, you see, this entire material creation is a dream of Mahavishnu. He is lying in a sleep in Yoganidra, in causal ocean. And all that is happening here is his dream. And that is why, that is how it is considered to be a reflection. Can you consider our dream to be the reflection of what we are seeing during the daytime? Isn't it? Like we are seeing, we are experiencing, and they are, those experiences are stored or retained in our memory. Right? And then at night we fall asleep and we dream. These dreams are actually the projection of our experience from the memory. So just as this way, we can see that a dream can be considered as a reflection of the reality. That is how this material nature is a reflection of the spiritual reality, which is actually Mahavishnu's dream. And we all are tuned up to that dream. That's why we have two types of dreams: individual dream and collective dream. When we fall asleep and dream, only we see it. Nobody else, even somebody sleeping, lying next to us, cannot share that dream, cannot experience that dream. So that is one is individual dream. And this dream is collective dream. Whoever will be here at this point in time will see the same dream. But that also he will see from his perspective, from his own perspective. Like from this side, although we are seeing the same dream, from this side I am seeing that wall and you are seeing this wall. And also our emotions are also involved. Another way to look at this different, seeing the same dream differently, is like the mother sees her baby and her heart becomes filled with affection. And a lion sees the same baby and starts to salivate in his mouth. So this is how we have our perceptions, our point of view, and our emotions. But the reality, but the main point is that it is a collective dream. It's a collective dream because it's Mahavishnu's dream. Joga Nidram Ananta Saroma Kupa. And Joga Nidra Ananta Jagadanda Saroma Kupa. And what he is doing is lying down, he is enjoying. It has been described as Bhajati Sma Joga Nidram. Bhajati means here enjoys. He enjoys his sleep, Joga Nidra, in causal ocean. And universes are emanating from his Saroma Kupa. Roma Kupa means his pores of his hair. Adhara Shaktim Avalamba Parang Swamurtim. Assuming the all accommodating potency in his own subjective form. I worship Govinda, the Adipurusha, Govindam Adipurusham, Tamaha Bhajami. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who, assuming his own great subjective form, bears the name Shesha, replete with the all accommodating potency and reposing in the causal ocean, with the infinity of the world in the poles of his hair, enjoys creative sleep. Joga Nidra. Beautifully, Joga Nidra here has been translated as creative sleep. He is sleeping, but in his sleep he creates the entire universe, all the universes. Then Brahma is being described here. Yashaika Nishyashita Kala Mathava Lamba Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadanda Natha. Jagadanda Natha. Jagat anda means Brahmanda. Brahmanda is the universe. And Natha means the Lord. Who is the Lord of the universe? Brahma. He is the head of the universe. And not only Brahma, here it has been said that Brahma and other lords of the mundane worlds, appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the latter Mahavishnu. So was the lifespan of Brahma? One breath. Just one breath of Vishnu is the lifespan of Brahma. And now consider, from our point of view, what is the life of Brahma? What's the duration of Brahma's life? Brahma, one day of Brahma consists of 1,000 chaturyugas. That is one day. In that, according to that calculation, Brahma lives for 100 years. Like 1 second of Brahma is 1 year, according to human calculation. So from our point of view, Brahma is inconceivable. Brahma's duration of Brahma's life is inconceivable. But here we are seeing, what is the duration of Brahma's life? One breath of Krishna. One inhalation is exhalation. Inhalation goes back. One exhalation is a life of Brahma. Jagadanda Natha. Bhashvan jathasma shakoleshu nijeshu teja suyam kiyat prakatayat tapitatvadatra brahma ja esha jagadanda vidhana karta govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajani. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom the separated subjective portion Brahma receives his power for the regulation of the mundane world, just as the sun manifests some portion of his own light in all the effulgent gems that bear the names of Suryakantamani. Just as a gem, although appears to be very brilliant, but actually the effulgence, the brilliance that the gem has, it has been reposed by sun. Actually, all the lights are coming from the sun. Like, let's consider that. Anything that gives out light, or any inflammable object, actually, what it is? What it is? Say, for example, coal. Coal burns, gives out light. Now you know what is coal? Coal is the decomposed trees that have been there for many, many years. I don't know how many, millions of years. Under the ground they have been sitting there, and they eventually turn into coal. Now, they are actually the, you can say, fossilized trees. Now, what do the trees do? The trees would also burn. Now, consider where do they get the burning, the ability to burn? The trees are actually collecting the energy from sun, and they are being accumulated in the wood. And then, under certain condition, that energy that was there in a latent form, it comes out. Now we can consider, so there is a diamond. So the diamond, can you consider diamonds? Where the diamonds actually? Diamond mines are actually coal mines. Diamonds actually come from coal. Certain condition, coal becomes diamond. So diamond gives us the light. Where do they get the light from? From sun. Right? So just as a gem gives out the light that has been borrowed from sun, similarly, powerful individuals like Brahma has become powerful by the potency that has been invested by the Lord. So no one is actually powerful with his own power. Actually, all the power is coming from the Supreme Powerful, the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, the best way and the easiest way and the most convenient way of becoming powerful is by becoming a devotee of Krishna. You become a devotee of Krishna and then Krishna will empower you. Because devotee of Krishna means he wants to do everything for Krishna. And when somebody wants to do something for Krishna, will there be any dearth of power or any dearth of resources? No. So if you want to become powerful, become a devotee of Krishna. If you want to be something very extraordinary, become a devotee of Krishna. Jat pada pallava jugam vinidhaya kumbha dande pranama samaye saganadhi raja vighnan bihantum alamasya jagatrayasya govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajam. Ganadhi raja. Who is Ganadhi raja? Gana adhi raja. You know who that is? You heard of Ganapati? Ganesh. So Ganesh has the ability, Ganesh has a very special mission, or he performs a very special act. You know why people worship Ganesh? Because Ganesh removes all the impediment, and thus Ganesh gives success. Siddhi Data Ganeshaya Namah. Siddhi means success. So in order to achieve success, people worship Ganesh. So here it is saying, Jat Pada Pallava Yugam Vinidhaya Kumbha Dande. Ganesh has the head of an elephant. The head of the elephant has two tumulis. So he is saying that Ganesh, by holding the lotus feet, pada pallava jugam, two lotus feet he is holding on his head. And by doing that, he has achieved the ability to remove all the impediments from the path of success in all three worlds. He removes. Dande pranama samaye saganadhi raja. Vighnan bihantum alamasya jagatraya. So vighna means impediments. And bihantum means destroys. Ganesh destroys the impediments of jagatraya, of three worlds. So Ganesh's power of removing the impediments from the path of his worshippers is coming from the fact that he is holding the lotus feet of Krishna on his head. Agnir mahi gaganam ambu marud dishascha kalas tathatma manasiti jagatrayani jasmad bhavanti vibhavanti vishanti jansha govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. The three worlds are composed of nine elements. Agni means fire. Mahi means earth. Gagan means sky or ether. Agnir mahi gaganam ambu means water. Marut means air. Dishas means directions. And Kala is the time. Manasiti, Kala is Tathatma, Manasi, the mind. Atma is soul, and Manasiti, Manasi means mind. So how many do we get? Let's try again. Agni, one. Mahi. Mahi means earth. Agnir Mahi, Gaganam, ether. Ambu, what? Marut, air. So we got five elements. Dishascha. Disha means directions. Then Kala means time. Atma, Kalas Tatha Atma. Atma means soul. And Manasi means mind. So the three worlds are composed of the nine elements. That is fire, earth, ether, water, air, direction, time, soul, and mind. I adore the primeval Govinda, primeval Lord Govinda, from whom they originate, in whom they exist, and into whom they enter at the time of universal cataclysm. Jachakshuresa savita sakalak grahanam raja samasta suramurti rasesha teja jasyagaya bhramati sambhrito kalo chakro govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajam. Jachakshu, chakshu means eyes. His eyes, the Lord's eyes are the sun, Savita. And he is the Raja Samasta Suramurti. He is the king of all celestial beings. The sun, who is the king of all the planets, full of infinite effulgence. The image of the good soul is as the eye of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey mounting the wheel of time. Jasya gaya bhramati sambhrito kalo chakra. Kalo chakra means wheel of time. Riding on the wheel of time, the sun is moving. Why? Because Krishna ordered him. Dharmotu papo nijaya srutayas tapanshi brahmadi kita patagavadhayascha jiva jadatra matra vibhava prakata prabhava govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, by whose conferred power are maintained the manifested potencies that are found to exist in all virtues, all vice, the Vedas, the penances, and all jivas, from Brahma to the meanest insect. So, piety or sin, everything is manifested due to the manifested potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jastindra Gopa Madhavendra Mahasakarma Bandhanu Rupa Falabhajana Mato Noti Karmani Nirdahati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajan Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Just Indra Gopa. Indra Gopa is a very small insect. So from Indra Gopa to Indra, who is the king of the demigods, everyone, From a tiny little insect all the way up to Indra, everyone are bound by Vandhanu Rupa Phala Bhajana Moti. Karmani Nirdahati Kintu Cha Bhakti Bhajana. They are bound by their karmic reactions. Right? But when they take to Krishna consciousness, when they take to devotional service, then what happens? Karmani Nirdahati. Dahati means to burn. Nirdahati means burns very nicely. So all the karmas get burnt out when one takes to the process of devotional service. When one surrenders to the Lord, when one surrenders to Krishna and becomes engaged in devotional service, what happens to his karma? Karmas are all burnt out. Jam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi bhiti vatsalla moha guru gaurava sebva bhavai sanchinta tasya sadrishin tanumapurete govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Krodha means anger. Kam means lust or amorous passion. Sahaja pranaya, natural, friendly love. Bhiti, fear. Vatsalya, parental affection. Moha, delusion. Guru Gaurava, reverence. Sebya bhavai, and with the attitude of willing service. Sanchinta tasya sadrishin tanuma purete. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, the meditators of whom, by meditating upon him under the sway of wrath, amorous passion, natural friendly love, fear, parental affection, delusion, reverence and willing service, attain to bodily forms befitting the nature of their contemplation. So according to their contemplation, they achieve this, the bodily forms befitting the nature of their contemplation. Like if so, that means if someone thinks of Krishna as his friend, then in his perfected stage he will find Krishna as his friend. If somebody thinks of Krishna as a son, if a devotee very sincerely wants to have Krishna as a son, Krishna will appear to him or her as a son. Like in previous life, Devaki and Vasudeva were Drona and Dhara. They wanted to have Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the son. They found him. In previous to them, they were Kashyap and Aditi. So eventually they became Vasudev and Devaki. And it's describing how one develops his bodily features according to his relationship with Krishna. Then the final verse of the prayer of Brahma. Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpataravo Dhruma Bhumish Chintamani Ganamai Toyam Amritam Kathadanam Natyam Gamanamapi Vamsi Priya Sakhi Chidanandam Jyoti Paramapi Tadashvatamapicha Sajatra Kshirabdhi Shravati Suravi Bhashya Sumahan Nimeshardha Khova Vrajati Nahi Yatrapi Samaya Bhaje Shveta Deepam Tamahamiha Golokam Iti Janu. I'm sorry. Chidan kathaganam natyam gamanamapi vamsi priya shakhi chidanandam jyoti paramapi tadasadam apicha sajatrak shirabdhi shravati surabhi bhascha sumahan nimeshardha khova brajati nahi jatrapi samaya bhaje shweta dripam tamaha bhiha golakam iti jan vidantaste santakshiti virala chara kati paye. So Shriya Kanta Kanta. Shriya means goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. Kanta means consorts, loving consorts. In Vrindavan, Krishna has his consorts. They have been described here as Kanta, and Krishna is the enjoyer, Kanta. So who are those Kantas? Who are those Krishna's loving consorts in Vrindavan, those gopis? They all are actually Lakshmi Devis, goddesses of fortune. Actually, they are not Lakshmi Devi. They are the origins of Lakshmi Devi. They expand in Vaikuntha as Lakshmi Devi. Parama Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Kanta, the enjoyer. Kalpa Vriksha, there the trees are, all the trees are desire trees. Bhumish Chintamani Ganamai, made of transcendental touchstone jewels. Again, we are coming back to the description of Vrindavan. The land is Chintamani, trees are desire trees, and Toyam Amritam, the water there is nectar. Kathaganam Natyam Gamanamapi. Their talk is music. They sing, they don't talk, they sing. Or the way they sing, the way they talk, is the most wonderful song. And natyam gamanam, their movement. They don't walk, they dance. So a point has been made here. In Vrindavan, every movement is dance. And their talk is song. So if there every movement is song, is dance. So then what the rasa dance is like? The movement is dance, and when they dance, then what kind of what it must be like? And there the talk is music. So what Krishna's flute is like? The sound of Krishna's flute. Inconceivable. We'll find out only when you go there. Kathaganam natyam kamanam api vamsi priya sakhi. And the flute is a priya sakhi. She's a very intimate consort. Chidanandam jyoti paramapi tadashattam apicha. The Chidanandam, the transcendental bliss of effulgence, everyone there enjoys or perceives. Everywhere it is perceived or relished. The constant joy, constant transcendental bliss. And where Shirabdhi, there is an ocean of milk, Shravati flows, Surabhi Pascha Sumahan. The cows there, the milk that the Surabhi cows give, that creates an ocean of milk. And that is the milk ocean, Shirabdhi, ocean of milk. And there, the time doesn't move. जथा समय ब्रजति नहि जत्रापि समय. Time there doesn't move. Where here, the time is constantly moving, isn't it? Like from future to the past. And present is just a fleeting concept. Present, gone, isn't it? Present is not static, it's not standing, it's time is constantly flowing. Can you describe present? Where does it go? Before you have even said P of present, it's gone into the past. The time here, time in Vrindavan doesn't matter. Even Nimesh Ardhakho, Nimesh means a wink of an eye. And half of that, time doesn't even move to that extent. This also we won't understand unless we go there. And Bhaje Sweta Dipam Tamaha Miha Golokam Jijam. So I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that beautiful white island in the ocean of milk. And in this way, a very few self-realized souls can actually understand that. So, in this way, Brahma offered his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then next few verses are describing what happened after that. I'll just read the translation. On hearing these hymns containing the essence of the truth, the Supreme Lord Krishna said to Brahma, Brahma, if you experience the inclination to create offspring by being endowed with the real knowledge of the glory of Godhead, listen, my beloved, from me to the science set forth in the following five shlokas. When the pure spiritual experience is excited by the means of cognition and service, super-excellent unalloyed devotion characterized by love for Godhead is awakened towards Krishna, the beloved of all souls. So, what actually awakens the love for the Lord, love for Krishna? When the pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition and service. When pure spiritual experiences are excited by means of cognition, by comprehension, by understanding and service. Then super excellent unalloyed devotion characterized by love of Godhead is awakened towards Krishna, the beloved of all souls. The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct and perseverance in practice. These preliminary practice of devotion, sadhana bhakti, are conducive to the realization of loving devotion. Loving devotion then whom there is no superior well-being, who goes hand in hand with the attainment of the exclusive state of supreme bliss, and who can lead to myself. Now, the last verse, I will just read. Okay, last two verses, I'll just read. Because it's quite significant. The verse 61 is saying, ධර්මාන් අන්නාන් පරිත්‍යජ්‍ය මාමේකං භජ විශ්වශ්‍රත් ඍග්වේද සර්ව ධර්මාන් පරිත්‍යජ්‍ය මාමේකං ශරණං ප්‍රති. So Krishna is giving the same instruction to Brahma also that he told Arjuna. Here he is saying ධර්මාන් අන්නාන් පරිත්‍යජ්‍ය, giving up other so-called duties and religious activities. Bhaja Vishwasyan. Vishwasyan is having faith. Vishwasyan. To have it. With faith, with full confidence, you render surrender unto me. Jadrishi jadrishi shraddha shuddhir bhavati tadrishi. The way one develops his faith, accordingly he achieves his success. Kurvan nirantaram karma loko ayam anuvartate tenaiva karmana dhyanma parangti icchati. The people of the world act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. By meditating on me, by means of these deeds, one will obtain devotion characterized by love in the shape of the Supreme Service. Then, ahangi vishvasya chara charasya vijam pradhanam prakriti pumanshcha maya hitam teja idam viharshi bidhe bidhe hi tamadho jaganti. Listen, O Vidhi. Vidhi is the name of Brahma. Listen, O Vidhi. I am the seed. That is the fundamental principle of this world of animate and inanimate objects. I am Pradhan, the substance of matter. I am Prakriti, material cause. And I am Purusha, efficient cause. This fiery energy that belongs specifically to the Brahman, that inheres in you, has also been conferred by me. It is by bearing this fiery energy that you regulate this phenomenal world of animate and inanimate objects. So in this way, Krishna instructed Lord Brahma after hearing his prayers. Ishvaraha Parama Krishna सच्चिदानंद विग्रह अनादि आदि गोविंद सर्व कारण कारण श्री श्री ब्रह्म संहिता की. Anyway, somehow I managed to cover the entire Brahma Samhita, but once again I repeat, this is just to give you the test. This is the chutney. Now you have to take the full meal yourself. Does anybody have any question? Yes. Generally, the mellows, as I mentioned, are not changeable. The relationships are based on mellows. And it is not a matter of mental concoction. Like the spiritual master directs the disciple. Disciple may not understand, he is relationship with Krishna. But the spiritual master detects that and guides the disciple in that way. For example, once some devotee asked Srila Prabhupada what was his mellow, what was his siddha sarup. He asked, he used the expression, what is his transcendental identity? Prabhupada got very angry. He first chastised him. And then Prabhupada told him, don't worry about your siddha sarup. Don't worry about your spiritual identity. Try to become qualified first. And when you become qualified, then I will come and reveal your sarup to you. So that is how the spiritual master actually guides the disciple. And that actually gave me a very clear understanding, because Prabhupada knew that he was not going to stay in this planet for very long. And by that time, they are not going to be purified to recognize the Swarup or become qualified. So that gave a clear understanding that although Prabhupada left this planet, but Prabhupada will come when we become qualified to lead us further in our spiritual life.
If we make Krishna, can he forgive our past and future sins?
Yes, very good, very good. Yes, he does. Like Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita that sarva-dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva-papebhyo moksha-ishyami masucha. If you surrender unto me, sarva-dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja, then aham tvam sarva-papebhyo, I will deliver you from all your sinful reactions. Don't worry about it.
But what the purpose of karma says?
Yeah, karma.
Purpose of karma.
Karma, yes. Karma gets burnt out. When one surrenders unto Krishna, karma gets burnt out. No karma left. One becomes free from all karma. As well, because that is the power of devotion to Krishna.
And if a person does wrong things throughout his life, in 50 years, you start paying Krishna.
Why 50? Even 80. That's what Krishna is saying. You see, when one surrenders unto Krishna, then no matter how sinful he may have been, it's something like this. Somebody committed a great crime. Somebody has been very, very sinful, criminal, right? A big criminal. Now, if that criminal, when he is being punished in the prison, he realizes his mistakes and appeals to the king that I'm sorry that I made all these mistakes. I realize my mistakes and I promise that I'll never ever commit any crime. And I will just serve you and I will not do anything else. Then how will the king respond? Can the king say, okay, all his term for sentence is absolved. Let him free. Let him come back to me. So that's what happens when one surrenders to Krishna and when one becomes his devotee. And it is not that, you know, somebody deliberately, you know, commits, as you're saying, like for 50 years he committed all kinds of crimes and then he says, goes to Krishna and says, okay, please forgive me. Krishna will forgive only when he sees that his intention is pure, his heart has become pure, he has become free from his criminal mentality. Then only he will. You see, we can't fool Krishna. We can't outsmart Krishna. He knows. He's sitting right inside and he sees everything. So if we have any dubious intention at heart, We can't bluff Krishna. He will catch us. Only when he sees that we have our intentions are pure and we have really earnestly trying to surrender unto him, become his devotee. Yes, Krishna will wipe out all our sinful reactions. Not only for 50 years, for 50 million lifetimes. Actually, all our karma is accumulating. Not all the karmas are getting burnt out in one lifetime. We are accumulating newer and newer karmas, and they are piled up in a much higher than Himalayan mountain range. Hare Krishna. No, Lord Shiva is beyond material nature.
And does Lord Brahma only create the material world? But I think yesterday you mentioned that Rudra came from Brahma's forehead. Just wondering how that came about.
Yeah. It is, you see, Lord Shiva's extension or incarnation in the material nature. Manifested through the eyes of Brahma, through between the eyebrows.
So,
of
Brahma. Lord Shiva is
In the beyond material nature. See, Devi Dham, material nature. Mahir Dham, beyond material nature. Any other question? Yes.
Just for you to clarify this one point, in verse 44, Dhruva Devi, one of the characteristics is the strength agency also. How does that differ from what she has potency of destruction? And it says Dhruva creating, preserving and destroying agency of the mundane world.
Yeah.
And how does that relate to Lord Shiva's position of destruction?
Yeah. You see, here it is describing that material nature, Maya, is the total cause of material nature. Right? I mean, whatever is happening in the material nature, it is by her action. Of course, you know, that specific aspect of destruction, that business, is done by Lord Shiva. But she is, like, although it is done by Lord Shiva, but she is actually the original cause of the entire material happenings. You get the point? Like say for example, Brahma is creating. But it is her domain where Brahma is creating. It is Maya's domain, right? Vishnu is maintaining, but it is her domain still, right? And when the destruction takes place, that is also happening in her domain, but somebody else is coming and doing it. Like for example, you have a house, right? And that house is now to be destroyed. So you call the demolition department, and they destroy the house, right? But it's you who call the demolition department, right? Because it's your house. That's why the ultimate authority of that domain is you. Similarly, this material nature is Maya's domain. So whatever is happening in the material nature is due to her. So that is why it has been described as that she is the cause of creation, maintenance and destruction.
One more question.
Yeah.
Dhruva Devi, in terms of her service to the Supreme Lord, as the Kamala Goyal and Gopis, they enjoy and be serving the Lord. How does she, on what level would she get the taste of serving Krishna and the enjoyment of the
She generally doesn't get a chance to serve Krishna in that way. But she gets a chance to serve Krishna when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. Actually, in this way, when Krishna comes as Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he gives the special opportunity to practically everyone to go to experience Krishna's pastimes or enter into Krishna's pastimes. Like in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, this way we see, like Mayadevi came to enchant Haridas Thakur and she became a devotee. So that is how she actually received Krishna's, received Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and perceived or had a chance to enter into Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Because whoever is in Navadvip has an access to Golok also.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having described the main elements of the main elements of Mahabharata very well. In the Bhagavad Gita, one of the Sankhya philosophers, which discussion another 24 elements.
Not another, 24. Right? And in those 24, actually out of these 9, 8 are there already. No, eight, not 8. 2 are less, 7 are there. Like 5 elements are there. What are not there is direction and soul. But he includes mind and Agnir, Mahi, Gaganam, Ambu, Maru, Dishascha, 5. Kalas, or time. Kalas, Tathatma, Manasiti, Jagatrayam. Time is also not included. So he actually included, in Shankha philosophy, 6 of these, 6 out of 9 are included. This is another calculation, you see. So, Shankha, Kapila Sankha is considering the 5 working senses, 5 objects of the senses, and mind, intelligence and policy. And Mahatattva. That's how it's 24. Whereas here, it's 5 elements, mind, 6, time, directions, and soul. So that makes it 9.
Then another question I have is, okay, the Brahma Sangita has been translated as being at the dawn of creation, meaning that creation hasn't taken place yet. Apparently, Brahma is still alone at that time. Yet at the same time, he describes personalities like Ganesh, Porter, Apriya, Sana, or Shiva. So, how is this?
Yeah. It's something like, you see, the material nature. Brahma goes there and goes back to the spiritual sky. Right? He perceives Brahma, perceives Krishna. Then, you know, he gets to know that what happens during every millennium. Every creation. He gets a hang of it. And from that, he figures out, you know, all these personalities will be there.
Last verse, the text of the service has described the 2 kinds of dreams, Loganita and Mahanita. Apparently, Mahanita means the material world. It's like everybody is sleeping in this dream. I was just wondering, like, for example, Sahaja Sangha, like, we're sitting here now, reciting these spiritual topics. I don't know what category is this, Nidra, is it? Are we,
Yeah. Well, Mahanidra, that's the expression I use jokingly. The Sanskrit expression is susupti. The Sanskrit expression of that sleep that we experience is called susupti. And a living entity in the material nature has three states of existence. One is wakeful, like when we are on the gross bodily platform. When the gross body becomes inactive, but the subtle body is still active, that is called dream stage or swapna. And when the subtle body also becomes inactive, when both gross body and subtle body become inactive, then that state is called susupti, deep sleep. When either gross or subtle body is not active. So we exist in these three states: wakeful state, dream state, sleeping state. Hare Krishna. So, Nrisinghananda, you have to make an announcement. Okay, there's a question at the back.
Hare Krishna, Manish.
Hare Krishna.
The one point of time is to destroy Manish. And Lord Shiva also destroyed the is there any relationship between Lord Shiva and time in terms of destroying him?
Therefore, Lord Shiva has another. There is a relationship with Lord Shiva and time. Lord Shiva is the time aspect himself. Therefore, another name of Lord Shiva is Mahakal, the great time. Thank you.
The second question is, you mentioned that Mahavishnu, when you were learning the code of ocean, it's like you were, the whole material activities are taking place in his dream. Did you say that, Mahavishnu?
Whole material activities are?
It's Mahavishnu's dream.
Dream? Oh, dream. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was trying to explain how this material nature is a reflection of the spiritual reality. Like just as a dream is a reflection of reality, right? Like what you are doing now, when you fall asleep, that reflection of your recollections that you have collected during your wakeful state, that comes to the forefront of your mind, and that is the dream. Similarly, Mahavishnu, you know, in his sleep, he's kind of, you know, dreaming, right? And that dream is this material nature.
When you say that, Mahavishnu, when I cross my mind, there is not the every 1 inch nightmare.
Well, you see, Mahavishnu's dreams are all sweet dreams, and nightmares are our creation.